Step into a world of adventure and join our players in Waterdeep Dragon Heist. We are thrilled to have you, but we'd be even more thrilled if you became a patron of our podcast on Patreon. I'm Dungeon Lord Jay, and this is Quest.
Your old pal Magic Dan here again, and I gotta tell you what's been going on. Well, we met the Black Staff. Oh my god, this is like a crazy powerful person, and she put us on a job. We're gonna be part of the Gray Hand, which I kinda hate the name, but I'm not here to complain, it's what I do. Finally some paying work. But she sent us down to meet this monk fella who I think's purpose was to beat our secrets out of us or something, cause he pulverized us. Oh my god, our kidneys are ringing like bells. It felt terrible. I also discovered that Cam was actually my lawyer. That's going to be good, especially since I burned down a caravan. We got back from getting our bells rung by that psycho monk. God, magic people always want to talk in riddles and then beat the shit out of you. I hate it. We got back, tried to rest for the night, and all of a sudden, there's an entire snake in our house. I don't know what's going on, but I think we're in it deep. And Cam is probably right. The newspaper was a bad idea, but it got us a great hand job, so maybe that'll... Well, hopefully the gray hand job will really help us out on keeping us safe from the Zentarum snakes or whatever. Either way, we're back at it, fellas. And don't worry, old Magic Dan's going to see this through with Gundog, available in stores this year.
As Talon, Magic Dan, Elle, and Cam gather in the center of the dilapidated taproom of Trollskull Manor, they discuss the recent revelations of the morning. The rising sunlight that filters through broken windows casts shadows across the room. Talon's hair, a bit shorter than the night before, and the sense of unease from the mysterious missive from the Zentarum is still fresh in their minds.
Hey, Tay, do you think you should go a little bit shorter? It's kind of uneven.
Are you serious?
A little bit, yeah. I think you'd look nice with a shorter haircut.
Also, I think one of your eyebrows is crooked.
Elle, can you try and trim it up a little bit more?
It looks good, but, I mean, we have to plan out our day. Might as well even it out while we're here.
I'm going to go ahead and trim his hair a little bit.
Make a sleight of hand check.
Dirty 20.
Man, I was hoping you're going to fuck it up super hard. Like, roll a one. Roll a one and just, like, the one side.
Elle, you trim a little bit here and trim a little bit there, and after about 5 minutes, it looks perfect.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's going to be beautiful. I mean, we have to go see the Black Staff again today, so I'd want us on our best looks and best behavior. Dan.
Well, I don't know why this is my fault. Either way, you look great, all right? The tiefling ladies are really going to like it, or whatever kind of lady you like. I don't care. Or fella, I don't care. Either way, we got to go see this Black Staff, because I imagine we got to get paid, and also, what the fuck was that guy beating the shit out of us for? My God.
You learned nothing from that, Dan?
I mean, I figured it's one of those, he beats you until you say what you have to say or something. And that's why, you know, I said the thing about my wife. Either way, disregard.
Yeah, we should head out. We got a lot to do today.
Don't we need to figure out this whole Zentarum thing?
And what's going on in this house?
Does anybody know who this Davil fella is?
I've had interaction with him before. He told me he would find work for me hunting us down, maybe. I was there as a different person. He doesn't seem like a very upstanding citizen, as it were.
Now that we're working for the Black Staff, why don't we get her to give us some more fellows and we'll go beat those fellers down.
If she wanted to beat up the Zentarum, I believe she would have already.
Well, they're working with a Mind Flayer or something, so I mean, that's gotta be... Why does no one seem to care about that? That is a huge deal.
Anyway, we should probably head out.
As you step out of Trollskull Manor, the lively songs of the halfling performers drift through the air from the corner of Sardoon Street. On the front porch, all of you notice a young girl, thin and lanky, perhaps around 12 years old, attempting to hide without much success. Her face is smudged with dirt, and her long, tangled black hair falls untamed around her shoulders. Catching sight of you, She flashes you a mischievous smile and presses a finger to her lips, gesturing towards the street.
I'd like to make like my eye line towards where she pointed and see if I can see anything going on that way.
Walking parallel to the yard on the street are two other children, both appearing to be around the same age. One is just a bit younger than the other. The older of the pair is a red-skinned tiefling boy. He wears a tattered navy cloak and a worn eye patch with a toy bow and cork-tipped arrows strapped to his back. Beside him, the younger boy has dark brown skin and a stocky build. He wears faded yellow robes and clutches a wooden stick and a dingy stuffed owlbear toy close to his chest. Both children scan their surroundings and shout,
"Nat! Nat! Nat!"
The tiefling boy, he'll say,
"She knows she's not supposed to hide in the yards. Where is she?"
I would like to look at this little girl and say, "Do you want them to go away?"
The girl is looking out at the street, and you speak to her, and she doesn't look at you.
Okay. I'll look to Elle and say, "Can you make sure you find out what's going on in a second?"
Sure.
I'm going to turn into the little girl and sprint down the street, like flailing my arms, jumping up. I don't know her voice, so I'm jumping up and down, and I'm going to just like try and get their attention and then sprint away from the house as far as possible.
When you turn into the girl, the actual girl is very startled by this. And she also jumps up into the air and is a little freaked out. The two children on the street look towards these two girls running towards them at the same time. They look confused and scared.
I kind of want to see if I can act more scared than this girl is and kind of like run right past them further down the street.
Sure. The rest of you guys on the porch will notice that the little girl that isn't Cam is making gestures in the air and pointing towards Cam, who is this little girl, at these two young boys. And these two young boys seem to understand the symbols, these messages that she is sending with her hand, this sign language. And the boy with the bow will draw his bow, and the young girl carries a wooden sword, which she will draw, and they will fire at Cam.
All right. I'm going to try and like drop to the ground and duck real quick to avoid some of this. And I want to look to the little girl and message and say, I was just trying to help. I mean you no harm, I promise.
She has her sword and she's like about to jump in and start attacking you. A cork-tipped arrow flies by your head as you duck down to the ground. All of these children are closing in on you, and you see this girl get the message, and she is shook. She freezes in place, and it's as if she like holds on to her, she drops her sword, and she holds onto her chest, and she begins touching her ears when you say that.
I'm going to send the message back again and say, "I really do not wish to harm you. I'm just trying to help out. I know telepathic speaking isn't something that a lot of people can do, but I'm not from here."
She drops to the ground, tears coming from her eyes as she's touching her ears.
Does she look like fearful or like kind of happy that she's hearing something
right
now?
It's almost both. It's overwhelming joy. It nudges you in the forehead, and these two boys come running and tackle you.
I will like drop to the ground and just kind of like, I think I'm going to switch back to Cam at this point, growing in size a little bit.
The little tiefling boy is like,
"He's a doppelganger. He's a doppelganger. Kill him. Kill him."
Not a doppelganger. Not a doppelganger. Not a gobbleganger. I'm a changeling.
The youngest of the children is this stocky, dark-skinned boy. He will approach the young girl and begin signing sign language at her. And she is a bit stunned for the moment, but begins signing back to him. And he will turn around to this tiefling kid who's interrogating you and be like,
"Squidly? She heard. She heard. She heard him.
And this tiefling boy sort of gets up off of you and puts his hands on his hips and is like,
Well, if you's a changeling, ain't that the same as a doppelganger?
No, 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 there's quite a varied difference between doppelgangers and changelings.
Well, how did Nat hear you, then?
We'll message him and just say, like this.
Oh, you can talk without your mouth moving. I seen a man's with a puppet, he does that too.
A little bit different, but the same vein, I do believe, yes.
Well, that doesn't explain how Nat could hear you. She's deaf.
Well, so it's not actual sound you're hearing. I'm speaking into your mind. And I'll do it again and I'll say, it's nothing to worry about. It's just a way I used to talk a lot where I'm from.
Well, from what I understand, Nat ain't never heard nothing before.
That is sorrowful for sure. I will look to Nat and I'll say, if you ever wish to converse again, I will always be around here.
A smile grows across her face, and she signs a bunch of little hand signs at you. You have no idea what she's trying to tell you. The tiefling boy will help Nat up, and this little chubby boy, they will introduce themselves. The tiefling boy will say,
I'm Squidly, and that's Nat. She's our leader. And this here's Jinx. We're the Ragamuffins.
The Ragamuffins? Well, what is it that you do?
We're adventurers.
You're adventurers? Well, yeah. And I'll, like, gesture back to, I'm imagining the crew is just standing on the porch at this point, just watching.
Is that what you guys have been doing?
Oh, yeah.
The entire time. I will say that when they said he's a doppelganger, I did grab my sword for a second. But yeah, just standing there watching.
I was like, I'll kill a fucking kid. I don't...
I'll drop his ass. Yeah, look at it. Cam's getting beaten up by children.
I'll kind of like stand up, like hand on my hip and like gesture behind me. I'm like, well, I'm an adventurer as well. These are my fellow companions. And, you know, I'm glad to see kids as young as you, you know, getting after it these days.
Hey, he's pointing at us. You think we should go over there or what?
Probably.
I don't know. I don't want to talk to children. They're gross.
And I just wave.
The children look upon the group of you with awe and reverence.
You're adventurers?
Yeah, we're definitely adventurers.
That's right.
Nat elbows Squidly and begins signing at him, and Squidly nods.
Yeah, so... Nat wants to know if you've ever killed a dragon before?
Not yet.
Not in this realm, no.
Nah, we like straight messed up a troll. Like, we got him, right? He came through a hole, we were just like, right on, chopped his arm right off.
The children are amazed.
Well, then there was the baby beholder as well.
Oh, yeah, we just smoked that thing super hard.
The smallest boy, his name is Jenks. The smallest boy, Jenks, he's shivering. Reliving this moment with all of you, like
a baby beholder.
Oh yeah, and then you know what we saw after that, kid? A mind flayer.
Nat elbows into Squidly again, and she signs at him.
Right, okay. She also Nat wants to know if you plan on killing anything today, and if we can watch.
I don't believe there is murder on the docket today. No, that's not something we go out of our way to do, but. When times call for it, we rise up to the challenge.
Also, our profession kind of doesn't lend itself to having children around because a lot of monsters don't seem to determine age before they rip people asunder.
Oh, we're not scared.
But the little Jinx boy looks terrified.
No, you should be terrified. A mind flayer will eat your brain while you're alive. It's pretty crazy.
We are going to go see the Black Staff.
The Black Staff. Are you fucking joking me?
Language.
Right, you're right.
The chubby little dark-skinned boy, Jenks, will pull on Magic Dan's robe.
Hey, what do you want? Stop that.
Are you a wizard, sir?
Kind of, sort of. I'm a practical magic man.
You wear a wizard hat.
I know. It's part of the ensemble. I'm still trying to figure it out.
I'm a wizard, and this is my familiar.
And he holds up this dingy, dirty, stuffed owlbear toy.
He's my familiar, Hoot.
Well, that's pretty good there, kid. I don't have a familiar. I just have a cat. And I kind of open up the coat, and Mousselini just kind of like pops up onto the shoulder.
But you can cast spells, right?
Oh, yeah, and I got this sick gun dog. And I just kind of like pull it off my back and hold it up in the air, just like irresponsibly.
Whoa. Can I shoot it?
No, absolutely not, but maybe.
Dan, no, absolutely not.
Well, maybe later when there's not a lot of people around trying to enjoy some music. And I put Gundog back onto my back.
Well, all of us can cast spells. You don't have to be a wizard to cast spells.
I'm a wizard.
Well, I imagine you'll be a fantastic, maybe even the Blackstaff one day yourself.
No, you want to be a practical wizard. someone who uses magic for the betterment of everybody.
Nat will nudge the boys and sign at them. And Squiddly will look towards the group of you, and he'll do this very dramatic bow as he adjusts his eye patch that's obviously just fake.
Well, Nat says we best be off. You know, adventure calls and all that. But we'll be seeing yous around. Next time you go and kill something, let us know.
Jenks, this little chubby boy, will be like, oh, I guess we're leaving. Okay, bye.
Yeah, don't get ripped apart in an adventure.
Dan!
What? It happens!
Let them have hope.
I had hope once.
They begin pulling on each other's robes and cloaks and arguing and bickering as they make their way down the street. Everybody make insight checks for me.
14.
16.
10.
22.
So Magic Dan and Cam, both of you guys notice about these children that they are orphan urchins, probably. And they just live in the street, likely just down the road somewhere.
Hey, Tay.
What's up?
Is the orphanage only for tieflings?
No, but it's mainly tieflings.
Do you think they might know of any other good quality orphanages that might have someone turn out like you?
Not that I can think of, no.
That is a shame.
It is.
Yeah, child care in this realm is pretty terrible, if you ask me.
You all walk through the bustling streets of Waterdeep and make your way to Blackstaff Tower. Similarly as before, when you first arrive, you do not notice the door. When you look away and look back, there it is.
That trick is such a waste. I'm just saying, have the door there. Why all the pomp and circumstance?
It adds ambiance.
I don't know. It's pretty cool. This is pretty common from where I'm from.
You enter inside this grandiose chamber with a spiral staircase that leads up into the heavens and a desk with a very, very old elf lady sitting behind it.
We're back to see the staff, Black Staff.
Do you have an appointment?
She's expecting us.
Names?
Talon, L, Dan, Practical Magic Man, and Cam.
Hold, please.
She will contact the Black Staff via sending. After a short moment,
stand back. Keep your hands and feet inside the magic circle at all times.
And she casts teleport on the group of you. And as she does, the world lurches around you, and you find yourselves standing in a dim stone chamber. Shelves line the wall, filled with jars of colorful potions and bubbling concoctions. The room is bathed in a soft, pulsating glow emanating from glowing crystals embedded in the ceiling. In the center of this chamber, a large stone table serves as the focal point for alchemical experiments, surrounded by intricate glassware and delicate instruments. A faint scent of herbs and magic lingers in the air. Behind the alchemical glassware is Vajra Safar, the Black Staff, her staff of immense power, laid cockeyed against a table nearby.
Hold on, one moment.
And she will carefully squeeze an eyedropper of slimy liquid into a small vial, creating a light poof.
What's that?
Hold, please. After the smoke simmers.
Welcome back. Thank you.
What are you making?
I'm working on an experiment to try to make a different kind of healing potion.
She removes her leather gloves, places them on the table.
I hope Hlam treated you well?
I mean, as well as I think that person is capable of treating people.
Did he give you a message?
As well as his hands, yes.
Yeah, he threw hands at us pretty hard.
Yes, I didn't know if he would, but it could have been expected.
Yeah, he told me a lot about what the five fingers say to the face.
I see. But a message?
He said something along the lines of the shadows are descending over the city.
You do not have it in detail.
I wouldn't have written it down as Cam.
The shadows of evil grow. Innocent blood will spill. No one is what they seem.
Yeah, real spooky-like.
He has always been a very cryptic man. As long as I've known him. I will keep this in mind and see if I cannot make heads or tails of it. Thank you.
I bet it has something to do with the Zentarm. Speaking of which, they tried to kill us last night, I think.
They sent us a message. I don't think they tried to kill us last night, Dan.
They sent Dan a message.
I know that you have gotten yourselves involved with the Zentarum in this warehouse raid where you saved Renair. Do you think this is connected?
Oh, absolutely. And probably because we saw their whole Mind Flayer operation boss kind of guy.
And then Dan talked about it in the newspaper.
That is beside the point.
That's the whole point.
Our fearless leader talked about it in the paper.
Oh, thank you.
I was being facetious, Dan.
I don't know what that means.
I'm not sure how I can help you. This is not a mess I got you in, but a mess you got yourselves in.
Well, are there other Gray Hand fellers that we could, like, borrow for a little bit to go rough some of them fellers up to let them know not to mess with us?
Are you suggesting that Force Gray make an attack on the Zentarum?
No.
I mean, kinda.
I do not say that that is a wise decision, Magic Dan.
All right, guy, I guess we're on our own with this. Luckily, I built Gundog, available in stores this summer.
Did you wish to take me up on my opportunity to be Gray Hands?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If there's pay on that, hell yeah.
I would have to see a contract first, but yeah.
Yeah, he's my lawyer.
You have completed the task. In doing so, you have earned the right to join Force Gray. I did take the time to write up some paperwork. And she will, from her robes, pull out a teeny tiny toy treasure chest. And she will place it on the ground and open it up. And when she does, it grows 10 times larger into an actual treasure chest. She rifles through it, pulls out a contract, slides it across the table to you guys with a pen and ink.
Why can't you make stuff like that, Dan?
I'm working on it. I'm still like, this is the Black Staff. It's like the best in the world or something.
That is really practical, though.
It is insanely practical. Imagine how much stuff you could store in so much space. It's incredible.
You could shrink a caravan down like that. You could live wherever.
Oh my God, guys, read the fucking contract.
Okay. Oh, yes. And like Cam is going to like immediately start like speed reading this contract.
So the paperwork basically just says that if you sign this, you accept that you are members of Force Gray, and it establishes the chain of command, right? So the Black Staff is on top, followed by local Waterdavian governmental bodies, so like the City Watch and the Order of Mages and Protectors, but only while you're on jobs. And you're not allowed to, like, evoke your standing with Force Gray for special treatment unless you are on a job. Also, it explains that you will receive payment for every job that you do in gold or magic items, no less than 10 gold pieces per person per job. You can refuse to take a job, but you are liable if it affects being asked to do further jobs. When not on a job, you are not restricted from taking on other jobs, leaving the city, or any general adventuring things.
Cam is going to look over the contract, see all of this. Look around to the group, nod, and be like, yes, this is all in good standing. This seems very much in our favor. They're going to take the quill and ink, and he's going to sign Cameron Ezekiel Leon right onto the paper with big letters.
Does everybody else sign it?
Yep.
Very good. The Black Staff will take the staff off, leaning cockeyed on a table, and face the wolf's head that's carved into the top of it down towards the paperwork. And when it does, this spark of flames appears on the parchment and it creates the symbol of the Black Staff in char on the paper. And with that, she will take it, put it in the trunk, close the trunk, it shrinks, and she will put it in a pocket. Welcome to Force Gray. I do need to give you this. And she will pull out from her pocket a handful of pins, and she will hand one to each of you. On this pin is a silver pin shaped like a hand, and a knife blade, dull knife blade, comes out of the point of the fingers, and it is to be placed on your person all the time or when you're on jobs. Again, you are not allowed to just be like, I'm on fucking Force Gray to get special treatment. So you can wear it if you want.
I think the only person we have to worry about that with is Dan, honestly.
I mean, I might use it to get free drinks.
You are contractually obligated not to do that.
L puts the Force Gray pin on, but then he pulls out the purple badge and he puts it on the other side.
Cam is not putting on his pin. He's going to put it in the pocket until he goes on to a job. He doesn't want people knowing about that for right now.
I'm going
to
put it right on the front part of the hat.
Nice. Okay. She will bow to all of you.
I return the bow.
She will say, I have some more work I need to get to. I will contact you via sending the next time I wish to speak to you. Have a good day.
I think we all bow and kind of... Is there a door to make our way towards in this? Okay, cool. Because you didn't, I didn't hear anything about a door, so I don't want to, yeah.
As you go to leave, she will say, one more thing. Please be careful. This business with the Zentarum is dangerous. Keep your eyes open.
Always.
Absolutely.
Will do.
And you all exit out of the door. As you take a step out of this door, you're expecting to be in some dingy hallway, but you find yourselves outside of Blackstaff Tower.
Got us with that one again.
Very practical. I mean, we didn't have to wander through hallways. We didn't have to search any of the building through the way out. We didn't need an exit sign. We just walk out into the street.
I mean, that is pretty practical, but the whole hidden door thing, not practical.
You wouldn't make it a day in the Feywild, Dan.
Guys, we got a job.
I mean, we do have a job, yeah. We also have people trying to kill us, so we should probably deal with that as well.
I think we head to the Yawning Portal to meet up with Devil.
Is it too early to head to the Yawning Portal, or is it... Okay, all right, cool.
5 o'clock somewhere.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Did you guys want me to go in first, or are we just going in together?
I say you scout it out.
Yeah, have you scout it out first, and then me and Gundog will go around back.
Or we just send Magic Dan in.
I was just going to go in.
All right, let's just go in. I have no problem with it. Let's just go in.
Yeah, I mean, if they wanted us dead, they would have killed us in our sleep.
That's for sure.
Yeah, fair.
True.
You guys enter the Yawning Portal, and it's relatively busy. It's the sort of morning crowd, right? And you can see that on the upstairs floor, there's not as many people. But there is, from the ground where you can see the upstairs floor, you can see a booth that is surrounded by people in black cloaks.
Guys, that's where I saw them before. That's where I saw Davil before. That's the place to go.
Okay, well then let's go. And I walk my ass right up those stairs.
Perfect. Does everyone follow, L?
Hey, slow down. I'm coming, Jesus.
Yeah, I would be following behind.
I'd be more towards the back.
As you approach, you will see 4 nondescript thugs in black armor and cloaks surrounding a booth, standing with her arms crossed in her leather armor, tapping a foot, is Yagra Stonefist, waiting for a meeting to be over with. You can see beyond those people in the booth, there are 2 figures, one of which is a half-elf with golden hair and elegant, elegant nobleman's clothes. He, almost ostentatious in color. And sitting across the booth from him is this huge, gruff-looking half-orc. He must be some sort of hunter because he's covered in pelts and looks like he just came from the wild. He has leaned up against the bench that he's sitting on a humongous longbow, twice the size of your average longbow. Strapped to his back is a quiver filled with arrows that are the size of javelins. And he is hunched over in a quiet meeting, candle between the two of them, discussing matters.
I told you, Dan. I told you she was in with some bad people.
Let's feel her out. Hey, Yags. It's your old pal, Magic Dan.
Magic Dan? What are you doing here?
Oh, man, you know, I always love a good drink. What are you doing here, Yagger?
I'm on duty.
Ah, who are you working for these days?
Just Devil.
Ah, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's a great gig. It's so good to see you. I can't, like, catch up too much right now. Like I said, I'm on duty, but... I didn't get a chance to thank you for the other night. Those Xanathar pricks, they almost did me in. You did me a huge favor taking them out like that.
Oh, yeah, they're super dangerous, like.
I totally owe you one, Magic Dan, and she'll give you a wink.
Who's your boss talking to?
I can't say, Dan. Come on. Don't do me like this.
Operational security. I know you tell me all the time. All right, well, hey, I got a frosty mug of ale over there if you want to get me up after. I'll just be sitting with these fellas.
Dan, we're here for business.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with a little business for pleasure. Why are you trying to...
I know, but you haven't even mentioned... We're here to see Davil.
Oh, you're here to see Davil.
Yeah, yeah, he sent for Dan and the rest of us.
Oh, yeah, they sent it like a snake in my room.
Oh, he did say something about that. That's right. Well, he's almost done.
And as she hasn't completed her sentence, when this huge half-orc dude stands up, and he's 7 foot tall, he's immense, and he straps this bow across his back, and the group parts as he begins to leave. And he will sort of pause for just a moment and look up and down each of you. This huge dude. And he just grunts to himself. As he leaves, you will see this blonde-haired, ostentatious-looking half-elf rise from his seat with a huge smile across his face. I cannot believe you have made it. It's so good to see you. Davil Star Song, it's a pleasure. And he'll stick his hand out for all of you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, you must be the feller who sent a snake into my room as a message.
Oh, I do apologize about our messaging services. They are somewhat unreliable.
Did you happen to strap my friend to a bed and cut his hair?
I'm sure I have no idea what you are talking about.
It wasn't a person.
Listen, his love life is has no bearing on this conversation right now.
This dude is a fucking crime lord.
Like, I just want to like make that very clear that you guys are being a bunch of jackasses in front of the crime lord.
Dan, Tay's love life is no part of this conversation. I'm Cam. I've heard we have business.
I'm Taylan.
Oh, you must be the magic Dan, the practical magic man.
That is me in spades.
Well, it's so nice to have finally met. I've heard oh so much about all of yous. Please, come have a seat, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right.
Yagra, darling, why don't you fetch us that delicate red I requested from Dernan and some glasses. You gentlemen care for wine?
Oh, I do. And you know, Yagra should join us as well.
She's on duty, I'm afraid. Yagra, darling, she will leave to go get wine. And a few moments later, return with glasses and a bottle. I prefer a full-bodied wine when I'm working. I find a dessert wine tastes sweeter when discussing business, don't you?
Oh, yeah, this is delicious. And, like, I pour, like, a little bit into my glass and then a little bit into his. And I hold it up. Toasties!
Absolutely. To business.
To business. To business.
Davil will relax in his seat a bit after taking a little bit, drinking some wine. And he'll say, I've heard so much about you, but I'm sure you'd like to know more about your host. Am I correct?
Most certainly.
Oh, yeah.
I find that I was once much like yourselves, an adventurer. My party and I joined an influential family here in the city a few years back, and we've made quite a name for ourselves in that time. I represent an organization that I'm certain y'all are familiar with, the Zentarum.
It's come up before.
Yep,
we've heard of it.
As my good friend here, Magic Dan, mentioned, I'd have to clear this subject up. I'd like to take a moment to just clear any misinformation about myself and my family. You see, the Zentarum aren't as sinister as the Waterdavian makes us out to be. In fact, I consider my family to be most generous and compassionate to the people of our fair city. We do what we can to help those in need. We provide loans and mercenaries and bodyguards and protection for local businesses. I like to keep my business above board, you see. However, I am of the understanding that you've recently tangled with the Zentarum.
It just so happened that somebody important got kidnapped and we got sent on the job not knowing that you fellers were on the job.
Well, you would be pleased to know that that was not my brothers and sisters that you raided.
Oh, you weren't involved with those, like, bird fellers who shot us full of arrows?
Absolutely not. You see, I have my hands full with a messy situation. Another family of Zentarum have recently infiltrated the city and have had some run-ins with the Xanathar's Guild, setting off a domino effect, ending in a war in the streets, catching my family in a crossfire.
Hold on, real quick. So you guys are like two separate things?
He will produce the newspaper and fold it out in front of all of you on page 2. This is y'all, isn't it?
Oh, yes, correct.
Yeah, see, that warehouse was not one of mine. In fact, I have absolutely nothing to do with any of it.
This other Zentarum faction are vicious and bloodthirsty and give my family a hell of a bad reputation, putting my name in with the wrong sort of folks.
So, just to get this straight, you're not part of the Butthole Bandits?
I can't say I've heard of them, but no, I am not.
Okay.
Without knowing, all of you have just did me a good turn by helping out old poor Never Ember. But, as it seems, you have inadvertently made yourselves one hell of an enemy.
Well, that's unfortunate.
I am the kind of man that lets no good deed go unrewarded. So I figured I'd contact you and extend the olive branch, as it were, and invite you to be part of my family. What does one need when you have powerful enemies?
Powerful allies.
You are so correct, my fine friend.
You do flatter me.
This violence in the streets must come to an end. In my line of work, with peace comes prosperity. This other family is ruining everything I've worked so hard these long years to build. And maybe, just maybe, we could help each other out. You scratch my back, and I'll scratch yours, as it were.
I do like a good back scratch. Hey, how's the pay?
Oh, I do so love spoiling my family.
Ooh.
Well, that seems like a two birds, one stone kind of situation.
I mean, if I can get two jobs in one day, I mean, that's pretty good.
What do you need done, Davil?
Well, I'd hate to pull you away from whatever important work you have going for you, so I'm willing to give you an honorary membership to my family, with all the benefits and none of the drawbacks. If I have something I need taken care of, I call on you fine gentlemen, and you take care of it, and you get paid. And as I said, I love spoiling my family. And after which, you can go on your merry way doing whatever it is you do until I call upon you again.
Now, I take it by having us here now, you'd have a job already with us in mind.
That I do. Wow, you are a clever one.
That's my role in the group.
I can see that very clearly.
Hey.
There is a tiny catch, however. A small proviso, if you will. If I ask you to do a job, I expect it done. I understand if it takes some time, or maybe didn't go according to plan, or even outright failed, as long as you tried. But I don't take kindly to no. It feels disrespectful, and you don't want to disrespect me, do you?
Oh, absolutely not. Not with this fine wine. And then I just jolt back another glass.
Then this should be no issue.
I'm assuming this should be above board work you're having us do.
I do what I can to help the people of this city. Sometimes the government fails us, and others have to step in and take control of the situation, if you understand what I mean.
I do understand, but I'm trying not to put us in a super compromising situation.
From what I understand, you are already in a compromised situation, Cam. I do have a job I want you to take care of. It's of personal importance to me. There is a murderer loose in a dock ward. Someone in that dirty, dingy ward is targeting elves and half-elves, such as myself. Four are dead so far, each one decapitated by a blade in the dead of the night. The thing is, the city watch has been keeping a tight lid on it. Methinks Staggett has other matters that require his focus. The City Watch, I think, could use some help in this regard.
Now, Davil, if they are hunting half-elves, are they hunting you specifically? Would you have any idea of someone they'd be targeting next?
I don't, but my men did do some digging for me, and they found out that all of the murders are localized around one tavern on Dock Street, the Lone Leviathan. It's the most popular tavern in the Dock Ward.
Would you have anything that would make your, you know, gang, I'm sorry, friends, stand out.
He will pull back his elegant ruffled sleeve, and on his arm is this really, really nice tattoo. It's like a half sleeve that goes up the side of his arm, and one of the major features of this tattoo is a black winged snake.
I'm going to look at him and turn my right hand into like an elven hand and try and closely mimic that tattoo as best as I can.
That is an amazing trait you have there.
Well, if I'm going to find this murderer, we have to lure him out.
Would this be something you gentlemen would be interested in looking into for me?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, let's find this fella and...
This city could use one less murderer.
If you find him, I would like for you to take care of him. I do not want any more murders. If you catch my drift.
We'll see you soon, Davil.
And I bow to him.
It was a pleasure.
It was great, Davil, and I'll take the glass real quick, kind of toast him, and then drink it down and set it down. And then drink another one real fast.
Cam, is it? You mind if I have a word with you alone for a moment?
Certainly.
Okay, but I'm going to chat up Yagra while you're doing that.
Y'all have a good day, gentlemen. I have to say, Cam, I find myself puzzled by you.
I get that a lot.
I had a meeting with a rough-looking character the other day. I didn't much trust him, so I had some of my little birdies follow him home. I think we both know the gentleman I'm speaking of.
Can't say I recall.
Well, if it refreshes your memory, I advise you to have a word with this gentleman and tell him that it is a difficult task to fool Davil Starsong, and he best not try to pull the wool over my eyes again. Do I make myself clear?
You make yourself clear.
Excellent.
But I do have a caveat to that.
He steeples his fingers.
You see, it's been a long time since I've been comfortable in my own skin, so I wear a lot of faces. It would not be pulling the wool over your eyes to meet you in a different form for me. It would just be who I am.
I more mean trying to fool me.
Understandable.
I wish you the best of luck on this job, and your friends are waiting for you.
It's been a pleasure meeting you.
An absolute pleasure. The group of you leave the yawning portal. What would you like to do?
I would like to go check the public records office, see if we can find out who owned the Troll Skull Manor before we did.
Is there if I come along?
Oh, surely.
I'm just going to go down to Troll Skull Manor and just pass out for the night.
Maybe do some cleaning before you fall asleep.
You know what? I kind of feel if I do cleaning, whatever it is going on in that house is going to wreck it.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to head back to the Troll Skull Manor.
We follow Cam and Tay as you guys go to the castle ward. So in the castle ward, there are several municipal buildings. You find the one under the Guild of Land Ownership. And when you enter, you meet with this young woman who is doing a bunch of paperwork. And she will lead you into a back office where there is piles and piles of scrolls and scroll tubes shoved into little holes in the walls. And she will spend about 10 minutes trying to find the old deed for Trollskull Manor, and she will show it to you.
Awesome. Do I see a name on there?
You will see that the building, Trollskull Manor, used to be a manor house belonging to some noble family. The last owner was an elf man named Lif Trissy.
All right, awesome. Thank you so much for your time, ma'am. I really appreciate it. Can you tell us where we might find information on some death records or just information about citizens in the city?
Sure, that's in the office on Trader's Way.
That's where we just came from. Okay, yeah, that's, thank you so much, ma'am.
Make an investigation check, both of you.
4.
I also got a 4.
You guys spend the better part of the day trying to find all of the information that you need, and you are unsuccessful.
We'll find the right building one of these days, Tay. I don't have it in me to search anymore. We got stuff to do tonight. We should go home.
Yes.
Defeated, we're going to show back up at the house, open the door, and just kind of like, I'm going to let out like a, Are you guys ready to head out for the night?
Already?
I mean, yeah, we should case around a little bit, see what's going on, and then figure it out from there. We also need a plan.
Oh, yeah, we kind of do need a plan. Yeah, you copied that feller's tattoo, right?
So what I'm thinking is, L, you're a very noble, famous person in this city, right? Well, you being around there, you'd probably be looking for some protection of some sort. And I could be your Zimtarum bodyguard down there, protecting a noble and doing some sort of business dealings down there.
Sure.
Yeah, we got your back now.
Fantastic.
So I'm gonna put on like a real pretty like elf face with like long flowing blonde hair. Well, are you ready? I do believe it is time to leave.
All right, let's head to the Lone Leviathan.
Yeah, let's get some drinks.
Do we have money for drinks, Dan?
I do believe I still got some dragons on me.
So you're buying?
Oh, well, you know, Tay, you've done all right. Let's get some drinks on old Magic Dan.
Okay.
You make your way through the city streets, through the cool night air to the dock ward, and the atmosphere immediately shifts. Tall, tightly clustered buildings rise ominously. The glass is shattered in all of the street lamps. The salty tang of the sea tinges on your nostrils. You make your way to Dock Street, which is the road that faces the harbor. As you approach the Lone Leviathan, you see a weathered shipyard dry dock that is tailored for smaller maritime vessels. Within the basin rests a large ship. Its masts are removed. Once enclosed by walls, the dry dock now stands open, with the ship seamlessly built into the structure. Wooden stairs ascend to the ship's deck, framed by a weathered archway adorned with a sign announcing the name, the Lone Leviathan. Atop the ship's deck is a set of stairs that continue downward, leading into the hull. As you descend, the sounds of lively music and raucous conversation grows louder.
Man, I do love a good themed bar.
I'm going to cast Minor Illusion on myself to make my clothes look impeccable. It's going to be like a, you know what? I'm going to do like a gold, full one-piece suit. I'm also going to hide my force gray pin.
Oh yeah, I'll do the same. I'll take mine off, my hat.
Well, so, family, I do believe we're here.
Find me a table.
Yes, sir. And I'll walk into the establishment.
Stepping inside the ship's hull, you find yourself in a nautical-themed tavern. Dim lanterns hang from the ceiling, casting warm, flickering light over the wooden furnishings. The walls are adorned with nets, helm wheels, oars, and other seafaring paraphernalia. The bar is located in the stern and is crafted from weathered ship's timbers. The atmosphere is bustling, with sailors and dock workers laughing and sharing stories over their tankards. On the starboard side is a crudely constructed platform where a bard tries to lead four drunken patrons in a bawdy sea shanty, while an occasional patron shouts out the chorus parts. Four tables on the port side are arranged for gambling and drinking games, where there are people in heated arm wrestling match, drinking competitions, and card games.
I would like to approach the bar as, like, ostentatiously as possible, making myself big, grandiose, just kind of, like, strut my way up there. And if the bartender is not busy, I'm going to get his attention as hastily as possible and, my good sir, I have some important clientele coming in tonight, and I need a mighty nice table if you have one. And I'm going to lean my arm up onto the counter and kind of flash the tattoo a little bit as I'm doing it.
As you make your way across the barroom, you are getting a lot of looks from these dirty, salty sea dog patrons. A lot of them are dock workers and sailors. You approach the bar, and at the bar, there is the bartender. He is a human man wearing a blue tunic with buttons on the front of it. And he has this salt and pepper hair that grows into his face as if he's balding somewhere and he's trying to overcompensate. While you were talking to the bartender, what would the rest of you be doing?
How many people are in here? Like, rough count.
35.
Okay. As Cam is walking to the bar, I'm like,
pick a name. You go for it. Call it in the air.
Reginald.
Perfect.
Around for everyone at the bar.
Yes, sir, family, and I can do that.
Do you say this out loud?
I do.
Oh, man, there's some patrons that are like, hey, fuck you.
I will look to the bartender. I'm saying, put it on the tab of family right now. We'll take care of you at the end of the night.
The bartender will suddenly be overwhelmed with patrons rushing to the bar to make drink orders.
But I imagine all those guys jumping off left a table.
Correct. And Tay and Magic Dan, what would you be doing at this time as well?
I'd be scanning the crowd, looking for anyone hiding in like corners and stuff.
Absolutely. Make a perception check for me. Magic Dan?
Magic Dan is just enjoying the mood. Like, he's on the line to get a drink.
Three.
There's so many patrons here. It's hard to tell.
There's too many people, Dan.
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of people around here. Yeah, let me take a look real quick, too. And I'll try to, like, scope out real fast.
Sure. What are you looking for?
Just anybody who seems suspicious.
Sure. Make a perception check.
12.
Okay. You do notice that in a table in a shady corner of the room, there is a half-elf in dark clothes with his hands steepled in front of him. And beside him is a human man who's really big and buff. And he has on leather armor that's sleeveless. And that's all he has on.
Reginald, where is my table?
Oh, yes, sir, family, and I got you.
Right here.
The bartender tries to get Reginald... tries to get Cam's attention to clear this tab thing up, but you guys make your way to the table and have a seat.
You are paying for that, correct, Sir Familin?
Of course.
We'll see.
Loudly, but not trying to seem suspicious about it. So, Sir Familin, I hear you have a lot of business down here lately.
Of course, my family, they're important people. Sometimes you have to go into the seedier parts of the city to handle it, but it's fine.
Well, I'll do my best to keep you protected down here, but I don't know if little old me's going to be enough to keep some of these rapscallions out here. I heard, you know, we're going to be out here pretty late tonight walking these streets, and I don't want, you know, anything to happen. Are you sure I'm all you needed?
You came well recommended. I think I'll be fine.
I do appreciate that, sir. Yeah, I'm just trying to get as much attention to the fact that, like, we're doing business, yeah.
I understand. So, how long do you want to keep this shtick going?
Honestly, until it gets, like, late enough we can, like, wander the streets a little bit and see if someone's going to try and pick us off.
Okay. After about 15 minutes, the drinks have all been passed out. So, Magic Dan, you finally get yourself an ale. And the bartender will make his way from around the bar to your table. And he will say... I didn't catch you before. You said the name is Fanlin? What was the name?
Oh, they're a very important elf family. You should look them up. The brother makes the papers all the time.
Front page.
Oh, yes, the fire.
Yes, my brother.
I recall. I'll keep it on your tab. Thanks.
All right, I give him 5 gold pieces.
Baller, shot caller.
He's been holding out on us, Dan.
I know, but like perfect time for it. And I just like chug back my ale.
The bar continues its raucous atmosphere. There is a bard who is beginning to get pretty freaking drunk, and they are singing these incredibly crude sea shanties, like, I once had a lass with a great big ass, you know, and it's really rough stuff. And at the other side, there are people arm wrestling, gambling, just having a great time. This is a very rowdy bar.
All right. Hey. I noticed there's some fellers in the corner that seem a bit suspect.
Well, Magical Dan, we should go check out the music and kind of scout around the area. I think Sir Familin will be all right for a second.
That doesn't seem like a bad idea. I basically move my mug to where the handle points at them, so you know which ones they
are. Oh, okay, cool. I like that a lot. I'm going to make my way, really, like, you know, strut my way over to kind of where the bard is and kind of, like, listen to the music a little bit and kind of get... in between the bard playing and that table and kind of like wait for Dan to come over to me.
Oh yeah, let's see if we get this bard to play something we like. These shanties are not great.
We can't be causing, you know, too much of a ruckus here. We were told to keep, you know, low profile for these business dealings, and I'm just afraid the wrong people might pick off the right person.
That business will do just fine. Fanlon's just doing business. We ain't got to worry about it, all right? He's just going to just chill over at that table. Why don't we ever take any time for ourselves?
Well, you know, it's hard while we're on the job.
We're always doing these jobs for these rich folk. I mean, who's even going to touch them? I mean, I think we can just kind of, like, relax.
I mean, you do have a point, Dan. Maybe we can, and I'll, like, brush my blonde hair behind me, let our hair down a little bit and relax for the night. Nothing's going to happen here tonight, I don't think.
Yeah, that's the spirit. Let's see if we can find ourselves a tall, muscular lady.
You do have a type, Dan.
I do. Come on.
I understand that Elle is sort of sitting at the table putting on a facade. What would Tay be doing?
I'd be standing right there in front of the table, almost like a bouncer. I'd minor illusion the Zentarum tattoo on my arm and just stand there and just scan the crowd.
Make another perception check.
5.
I think after some time with Dan and the bard or whatever, I'm going to say... Dan, would you mind going to spend some time with Sir Fanlon? I think if we're going to let our hair down tonight, I should do some inquiring with the bartender.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I go check in on old Fancy Pants over there. Let's see what's going on. Don't worry, I'm quite drunk.
As comforting as always, Dan. And I'm going to head up to the bartender, get myself an ale, and ask him... So I heard there may have been some trouble around here recently, and I'm just trying to put my mind at ease. Has there been anything sort of unsavory going on down here with some murders?
He shakes his head solemnly. You are correct. There has been some murders recently here.
Well, what's been happening?
Well, you see, the first victim, almost a 10-day ago, was a bartender under my employ. I have no idea why anyone would want to kill her. She was such a sweet young woman.
That is mighty unfortunate. I am very sorry for your loss, but... Was there any sort of connection between her and any of the other incidents happening around here?
Well, I know that all the victims were last seen drinking here. And that the murders occurred between around midnight and 3 a.m.
The late hours of the night, that's always a dangerous time to be on the street.
But I do have my suspicions.
Oh, do tell.
I think it's that bastard Bill Grimes, the owner of the Seafarer down the street, on Tavern Street. He's always been jealous of the success of the Lone Leviathan. He could be trying to drive my business away.
That is a mighty dark business tactic. Do you think he'd really stoop that low?
Maybe, but like yourselves and Lord Fomalin over there, there's a couple of other elf kind here tonight, and I don't know what's going to happen. Keep what I said to yourself. I don't want to lose business.
Oh, my dear man, mum's the word. I wouldn't say a thing about it.
If you did want to know more, Peg Leg Pete, he told me a pretty good story.
Peg Leg Pete, you do say, well... Let me get another one of these fine ales you have here, and I'll go make my acquaintance.
Yeah, he's a good storyteller. You'll like him.
Oh, I can't wait. And I'll make my way over with a ale in hand for Peg Leg Pete, set down one in front of him and say, so I heard Peg Leg Pete is the man to talk to about hearing a yarn.
I don't know who told you something like that. I'm just a fella drinking ale at a bar.
Oh, what a fine bartender at this fine establishment told me you may have seen something a few nights ago.
Oh, I saw something there. I saw it, I did.
Well, why don't you tell me, Pete? Why don't you go ahead and spin that yarn for me?
Is that ale for me?
Oh, you know this ale is for you if you tell me a story.
Well, I saw the third victim, I did. I found a body after it happened. It's terrible. It's about 2 in the morning. I was out, just pissed drunk. Saw head clean off, real sobered me up real quick. It looked like it was done with a sharp blade, but not by somebody who knew what they were doing.
Did you happen to see who did it?
All I saw was a dark-skinned elf with a grin I'll never forget. Went from ear to ear, I say.
That is a mighty tragic tale, my friend. I appreciate you imparting this knowledge on to me.
Well, I might have a little bit more knowledge for you if you get me another drink.
I can do that for you, Pete. Why don't you tell me the information? I'll make sure you get nailed right away.
Oh, you know, I'm the trusting sort, but I ain't that trusting. Let me see a little of that coin to make sure you can pay for it, at least. There's a cartographer around by the name of Flint. What was her first name again? Mara. Mara Flint. She found something about the second murder. I don't think that's just right over there by that arm wrestling table, if you just want to go take a look and ask her a little thing or two.
Pete, you have been a treasure tonight. I'll send an ale over to your premises right away.
I'll be expecting it. I'll see you across the bar. A fella like you is easy to spot.
And that is where we will end the episode. Thank you so much for listening. Please consider becoming a patron on our Patreon. There, you can find character art for each of the player characters, as well as the battle maps from the combats we've had so far in this campaign. I'm Dungeon Lord Jay, and this has been Quest.
Hey, Peg Leg Pete, how'd you get the peg leg?
Oh, it's a funny story all day. I'm going to tell you, I didn't lose my leg. I know where it is. I made a dangerous bet with some even more dangerous people. They gave me the chop, you see, and they just left me a bit stumpy.
I didn't lose it. I know exactly where it is.
That was fucking terrible. Just leave it. Oh.